As I stand in the pulpit this morning, we are 34 hours and 33 minutes into a brand new year of 2022. It's only just begun. 363 plus days are ahead of us. That's more than 8,700 hours. I'll stop there. What 2022 will bring for each of us as individuals, as families, all of us as a church, we don't know. We know that this coming year there are going to be ups and downs. There'll be high points, there'll be low points, there'll be successes, there'll be failures, there'll be joy, and there'll be sorrow. But what will bring these things about is part of the unknown. We don't know. What we can be sure of as believers, as followers of Jesus, is that no matter what comes our way, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what our experiences are, no matter what happens, Jesus Christ will be there because he's promised it. We heard it this morning. Nothing can separate us from his love. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is with us. He is, as we sang this morning, Emmanuel. We've celebrated that in this season. God with us. His sacrifice led to our eternal life. He's promised us so many things in this book. And as we enter a new year, it's a good time to reflect on those promises, and I'd encourage you to do so, but that's not what the message is about this morning. Nor is it exactly a message about new beginnings. There is an element of that in it. I want us to turn, if you'd like to Psalm 90. My text for today will come from that, the 90th Psalm. I'm going to read the entire Psalm. We're going to just focus on one verse in particular, but we'll be alluding to other verses as well in the overall Psalm. Psalm 90. The heading says, this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. I'm reading from the ESV. You have the NIV if you're reading in the Pew Bible. Beginning in verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and it is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's pray together for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for your presence here with us. And as you are with us, Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring illumination to this word, open our understanding to it, challenge us today through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is, as it says in the heading, a psalm of Moses. Some think it may not have actually been written by Moses, but I see no reason not to believe that it was. It is a prayer of Moses. It's speculated, as you can tell from the tone of the psalm, that it was written at a time of judgment upon Moses or Israel or both. It speaks about the eternal nature of God. It speaks about God's refuge and protection for his people. And it speaks of man's frailty and the passing, fleeting nature of everything that we see around us. But it also has a tone of hope at the end. Two-thirds of the way through the psalm is a petition of Moses, a petition that he offers up that I want to be our focus for this message in the next minutes ahead. In Psalm 12, Moses said, asks the Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does he mean by that when he asks that of the Lord? Is he saying to do what I did a few moments ago in counting the number of days that we have ahead of us in this year of 363? No, that's not what he's saying. Is he saying we should know how many days our lives will last? No, of course not. We can't know that. Only God knows that. In verse 4, he says, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. The Apostle Peter echoes this verse from Psalm 90 in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 8, and he adds to it and says the reverse. A day is as 1,000 years to you, Lord, and 1,000 years is as a day. This speaks about the nature of God, the truth that the eternal God isn't bound by space and time. He doesn't live within those parameters. He created them for us. And so for him, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. I guess you could say that when we were young, sometimes a day seemed like 1,000 years. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, like when that last bell, waiting for that last bell to ring before school lets out for a summer, that last day seems like 1,000 years. Or waiting for Christmas Day to come and all that it brings. As youth, we rarely think about the brevity of our lives, the brevity of our time here on earth. But as we grow older, as many of you know, it becomes more and more of a reality. But in that, do we always take stock of it and ask ourselves the questions that we should ask regarding how we should live? In comparison to eternity, our time on earth, the Apostle James says, is just like a vapor. And that's true even if you live to be 100 years old. 100 years in comparison to eternity is like that. It's not even that. You can't compare it because eternity is eternity. So numbering our days is a recognition of that. A recognition that God gives us a certain time on earth. We don't know how long that is. But we ought to pray that we do the best we can with the years that he gives us and ask him to number, teach us to number our days, to gain a heart of wisdom. What does that mean practically? I came up with a few things that I want to share in a few minutes ahead. First of all, numbering our days sharpens our perspective. It sharpens our perspective. 18th century Bible commentator John Gill wrote this. The meaning of this petition that Moses asked, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The meaning of this petition that God would teach us to number our days is as if the present one was the last. For we cannot boast of tomorrow. We know not but this day or night our souls may be required of us. But the sense is that God would teach us seriously to meditate on and consider of the shortness of our days, that they are but as a shadow. He's referring to a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. It's the parable of the rich man, the rich fool, who had such an abundance. He had so many crops. He had so many possessions that he didn't have room for them. And so he said, I don't have enough room in my barns to store all that I have, so I'll tear down my barns and build new ones, bigger ones, and better ones. And then he said, basically, I have all that I need. So I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And then God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Now, this parable primarily is something that shows the futility of chasing after, striving after earthly riches. But it also speaks to the point of view that fails to see the possibility that God can call us out of this world at any time. The rich man in this parable only saw a long and prosperous life ahead. And you could probably say he gave no thought to the possibility that his life could end abruptly. Sharpening our perspective on who God is and who we are, of what he can do and what we can't do, that's part of gaining a heart of wisdom. Seeing things in the light of our own mortality and in the light of eternity. Psalm 8 gives us that perspective. I want to turn to it. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I just want to read a few of the verses. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your fingers, the work of your, look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? David speaks here of the awesome, creative, eternal qualities of God and his nature and of the wonders of his creation. And David wonders, how can you, such an awesome and powerful, almighty God, even give thought to man? And yet he does. And David acknowledges that he is mindful of man and has given him a special place in creation. In verse 5, it says, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6, you have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Recognizing who God is sharpens our perspective. It's he who gives us life and breath and any authority and standing we have here in this earth. Now, talk of mortality and life as a vapor may not sound like a super encouraging message. I understand. You might be sitting there thinking, thanks, Jim, for just lifting our new year to new heights. But you know what? This is a theme that is throughout Scripture. And remember, God's promises are to never, never leave us or forsake us. That doesn't mean just here. It extends into eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 and 54 and 55 say, for this imperishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? He's with us forever and ever. And if we trust and believe in him, we will be with him as well. Understanding God, his eternal nature, who he is, who we are, sharpens our perspective, gives us a heart of wisdom, helps us to number our days. This also has to do with ordering our priorities. It sharpens our perspective. It also orders our priorities. You could say that sharpening our perspective leads naturally, should, to ordering our priorities. When we understand and are reminded of who God is and who we are in relation to Him, when we grasp what He has done for us, we should be motivated to examine our priorities in life. Are they in line with God's will for us? Last Sunday, Pastor Daniel returned to and completed the sermon series on the book of Ephesians that he had started a number of weeks ago. And weeks back, he preached from chapter 5 of Ephesians, and in that, Apostle Paul draws a contrast between those who walk in darkness and live in darkness and those who are disobedient and those who live as children of light. Verse 15 in that chapter says, "Be careful then how you live." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. There's that heart of wisdom. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That verse is such a good companion verse to this verse 12 in Psalm 90. Are our priorities in our lives in line with God's will for us? We should ask Him that. We should be continually asking Him that. And we should ask ourselves in honesty before Him. It may be that in the course of this last year of 2021, your priorities have gotten a little out of alignment. It happens to all of us. It does. Just the regular daily grind of life can wear us down and cause us to lose sight of what's really important at times, get self-focused. It's difficult. Some of us in this congregation have had much more difficult years than others. All of us. For all of us, 2021 was not easy, piggybacking on 2020. Our vehicles need alignment every now and again, even driving under normal conditions. The same is true of us. As we walk through this new year of 2022, let's take time to evaluate what our priorities are, if they really are in line with God's. Evaluate them in the light of God's will and allow His Word to speak into our lives and allow His Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and realign priorities where they've gotten out of alignment. Remember, we're to live not as unwise, according to Paul's writing in Ephesians, but as wise. It's worth noting that Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. One commentator wrote this: in order to develop the fear of the Lord, we must recognize God for who He is. We must glimpse with our spirits the power, might, beauty, and brilliance of the Lord Almighty. Those who fear the Lord have a continual awareness of Him, a deep reverence for Him, and sincere commitment to obey Him. It brings us back to the larger theme of Psalm 90. So learning from God to number our days to gain a heart of wisdom sharpens our perspective. It orders our priorities. And there's one other thing that I see. It also defines our purpose. It defines our purpose. The first question in the Westminster Catechism, which if you aren't familiar with it, is something that was written back by godly men in the 17th century, a series of questions and answers that teach about who God is and about his word. The first question in the Westminster Catechism, and many of you know this, is what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we glorify God? There are probably many answers to that. But there are three important ones that I thought of. First of all, we glorify God through our faith in him. As we place faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we bring glory and honor to him as we surrender our lives to him, as the world sees changed lives by a living Christ. We glorify God through our faith in him, through our worship of him in everything we do, not just what we did here this morning, that's a large part of it, but living a life of worship before God, reverencing him in all we do. Through our worship of him, we glorify him, and through our service to him, we glorify him. All of these are aspects of glorifying God, but the third one, service, is what I want to focus on as we bring this sermon to a close this morning. Part of God's will for each and every one of us as followers of Jesus is to be his servant. Jesus himself came, he said, to serve. And he set us an example that we're to follow. When we place our faith in Jesus, we must acknowledge also that he is Lord. He's our master. He paid the penalty for our sins. He bought us with his blood. We belong to him. Pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie wrote this: in the New Testament is a word that is often used for slave or servant. It's the Greek word doulos. It's a term that describes a unique class of servant, not someone who is made that way by constraint or by force. A doulos was someone who had been freed by their master, yet still chose to serve out of love. The servant was so thankful for this pardon that he or she would willfully choose to serve. The Apostle Paul often referred to himself as a doulos, and that is what we are as followers of Jesus Christ. We should become his voluntary servants, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him. We recognize that he has instilled certain things in our lives that we are to use for his glory, certain gifts, certain talents, certain resources, everything. Let me bring it to not just a personal level, but to a congregational level as well for us here at Emmanuel. It's a new year for each of us, and it's a new year for us as a church. This month we'll begin to implement the ministry plans that we believe God has for us as a church. We'll be restarting ministries that have long been dormant, doing new things, or bringing a fresh approach to things that have been done before. We've prayed and we've sought the Lord. We've received training and counsel and worked and planned all for many months. Many of you here in the sanctuary, and those of you online watching, have served faithfully and have done so for many years. I thank the Lord for that. Some of you are newer to Emmanuel, and you're looking for ways to get involved in the life and ministry of the church. We need you, and we want to meet with you in the days ahead. Some of you have served much in the past, but haven't been as active in recent years. We need you. God needs you and the gifts that he's given to you to serve him in the body where he has planted you. You're not too young. You're not too old. It's not too soon. And it's not too late. Don't think that you don't have anything to offer, because you do. There's a role for everyone in the body of Christ. If you doubt that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I won't go there this morning, but read it. Don't think that you don't have anything to offer and try to use that as an excuse, because Moses did that. Moses, Gideon, Saul, Peter, and countless other throughout the ages have been called by God and said, "Not me, Lord." The Lord had something different in mind. God saw it differently and used them powerfully. So, what will you do in 2022? That's my sermon title. Catchy, right? What will you do in 2022? That's the question I want to leave you with. I hope you'll ask the Lord, like Moses, to teach you to number your days, to gain a heart of wisdom, and that your perspective will be sharpened, your priorities will be ordered rightly, and that the Lord will define how he wants you to serve. Amen. Let's close in prayer, and then Dino is going to come to lead us in communion this morning. Father, thank you for Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you have sent to us as believers, have made a divine deposit in our lives. You have given us gifts. And you've called us to serve. And I do pray, Lord, that in this new year, that each day we will be aware of your presence, of who you are. Remind us over and over, Lord, as we look about your creation, as we see the glory, as that psalm says, as we see your glory revealed in the heavens, as we see the beauty of all that you have created, remind us of who you are. Help us to remember who we are and be thankful for what you have done for us. Help us to live each day according to your will, not as unwise, but as wise, seeking your will, ordering our priorities, and serving you faithfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.